My guests today are the members of the Portland band Heavy Nettle, Jordana McIntyre, Tara Hopebringer, and alias Sweet Potato for our friend over here, and Adam Brockman could not be with us today, but they're in the studio talking today about their music, their activism, their artivism, and they are some of the hardest working activists in Portland. You all have been making music together for how long?
We have all been living together for about 3 years, and we've been all making music together in that time. Sweet Potato and I have been playing gigs a little bit longer than that, maybe 4 years?
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we did some jamming together early on before we formed Heavy Nettle.
Okay, and true confessions, you all are part of an activist household. So there's a real intersection between your living every day, you know, living and your organizing and your music. Mm-hmm. So your music has a really strong activist focus, and you've written songs about the fossil fuel fight and a number of other issues. You want to talk a little bit about some of your favorites?
One of my favorite songs that we played here is Float Fly. And this is a song that for me is about making choices about what sort of future we want to have and are willing to fight for. There's a lot of imagery from nature, and that's because I think it's really important that we reconnect with nature and connect with how human societies can coexist in ways that actually work for us. And if we choose to return to those models instead of going along with the status quo, the way that things are, the capitalist system that we live under, then we have some hope.
Yeah, and I think I actually heard you play at a house party for some activists who are up on some charges for doing something incredibly useful in terms of saving the planet.
So that was a fundraiser thrown by Portland Rising Tide, and it was for legal defense funds for two activists who were arrested locking down in front of a train, an oil train, in Vancouver, and that happened a year ago. I actually was also arrested at that event, but I was not locked down, so I was just fined and released. I think we also do a lot of forest defense work, and specifically have volunteered a lot with BARC.
And forest defense work is climate defense as well.
Yes, forest defense and working against the, everything related to fossil fuel, infrastructure, exploitation.
Yeah, the timber industry is actually the biggest releaser of greenhouse gases in Oregon.
So you all have really put your lives on the line around this issue. I mean, it sounds like you really feel like you're fighting for the future of the planet.
And also just selfishly our own future, too. Because we're all millennials. If we don't do things now, we have allegedly 5 or 10 years, we might be too late already, but we have to totally change the system. We can't do things like carbon taxes. We can't have big green nonprofits like Oregon Environmental Council or Renew Oregon who are selling us out to corporations for false solutions. We need to totally end the capitalist system and make sure that the workers own the means of production. And if we don't do that as soon as we can, then we're not going to have much of a future on this planet, even our generation.
And I know that you've also been really involved in, I know, Tara, at least, that you've really been actively involved in Occupy ICE over the summer.
Yes, Jordana as well, another of our housemates.
I personally worked with a medic collective, Portland Action Medics, and that's the kind of work that I primarily did there. So supporting people who lived at the camp and came through, often like after they were pepper sprayed by police or hit with a rubber bullet. Yeah, that was a big piece of our summer for us.
Yeah, and have you written any songs about that issue at all?
They're in the works.
Are you making connections between and trying to shut down ICE and abolish ICE and climate change?
I mean, it's all part of the same system. It's all like othering, keeping us down and keeping us separated.
We all believe that migration is a human right, and these political borders are
arbitrary,
not relevant when you look at the long, long ancient history of human and animal migration, and those are the patterns that we should be respecting. Not to mention the human rights of all of the refugees who are coming to ask for asylum. We have an obligation to let them in and to give them an opportunity and a safe home.
Talking with members of the Portland band Heavy Nettle, and we're going to listen to their song Float Fly.
Some somebody asked me if my poison would infect the whole earth and creep back again, or if I'd learned how to regrow arms like a starfish in seaside pools. What if the wolf cried? Would I answer? Would I raise up a fence or run through the woods searching for home, filling my lungs with the sweet air from the mountainside? Sing, swim, or float, fly, hope, dream, or submit and die. I don't want to know how the story ends. I don't want to see it all end. And when the ground shakes and the trees fall, will I dig through the wreck for you, pushing through sidewalks or run? Take what I can, hiding and hoarding my privileges. Would I ignore you and forget you as I sink in the fog of a shallow life? Or would I reach out sending love signals like pathways of mushroom spores? Sing, swim, or float. I don't want to know how this story ends. I don't want to see it all end.
Really, it's a really haunting song. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Well, all of us have written different songs, and basically the process is whoever has written the song brings it somewhat fully formed to the group and kind of teaches the chord progression or whatever, or maybe has some specific requests about instrumentation. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of jam and play around and see what we like and try out different arrangements and solos. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I wrote the lyrics and the melody of that song. And in the recording, I'm doing a couple of different harmonies and playing the piano.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very intense interplay in that song between hope and despair.
Yeah.
that's the world we live in.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive. For me, hope is not optimism. And hope is not even like the belief that we're going to survive all of this. But hope is knowing that there is something that I can do. There are choices that I can make and lives that I can affect. And I have some power to change the direction of the world, even in a small way, even in the lives of the people that I have relationships with. So that for me is hope. And it's a very meaningful word for me. And I think a lot of people disdain it as being like two rose-colored glasses. But I think that it is important to have something that we can hook onto that can carry us forward, something that's sustaining, inspiring, something that we can celebrate when we have those small victories.
I think it's the rose-colored glasses when we're celebrating without recognizing the turmoil that's at play, you know, and I think holding both is that hope. I think it's really valuable.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are part of the camp of, if you just think positive, everything's going to go well sort of thing. It's, you need to be cynical and judgmental of the world around you, but also recognize that we all have stuff that we're working on.
Yeah, and what is the lyric, resist or die?
Submit.
Submit
or die.
Submit or die.
Submit and die.
Submit and
hope,
die.
Hope, comma, dream, or submit and die.
Yeah, pretty much lays it out there, right?
I think we're going to die either way.
That's right.
At what rate and in what way?
Yeah. But yeah, submission is a death before death.
Agreed.
Wow.
I would say we're pretty anti-apathy over here.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting that. Yeah, but I don't want to see how this story ends. I feel like that is such a haunting line, right? because how many people are actually allowing ourselves to imagine how the story ends?
I think I am, and I know a lot of people do, but we can also imagine something better as well.
But do you feel like being able to imagine that worst case scenario is actually pushing you along?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we need to look at sort of like the myriad of ways this could play out and like let that be the fire that fuels our actions.
And I think it is very important and useful to look at the realities of human extinction and to look at the realities of all of the different potential trajectories that we're on, all of which have a lot of horrifying and devastating consequences. And those devastations are already happening. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, there are a lot of other reasons and inspirations for making changes to the way that we live in our society. We know that we have better models for how we can live, and it will make our lives better to transition to those models of mutual aid, taking care of our neighbors, of having strong local communities, of being able to supply each other's needs so that we're not relying on the state for everything. These are all things that are small scale but tangible. And they're things that are going to make our lives better and give more meaning to our lives.
I think something that has led me, especially in the last 6 months, to realize that I do want to focus on using music and performance art as a medium to promote change is if this is it. Like, if we have no hope at this point, then I at least want to kind of go out in a flash of, like, beautiful, you know, creation. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the amazing acts of humanity that we see all around, even in the midst of all this turmoil and pain and all this, like, beautiful acts of resistance, all of this beautiful music and art, if humanity is going to go extinct, or at least everybody but the rich people, then, like, let's make it, like, amazing and beautiful and, like, really show that we are a force to be reckoned with and we can make something just amazingly beautiful.
There's a parable that I really like about living on this planet in trying times, which is to spend half of your time working to make it better and the other half of the time actually enjoying it. So I think about, you know, like forest activism in that way. I spend half my time sending comments and ground truthing with bark, and the other half the time I'm just in the forest actually appreciating what is, because nothing truly lasts forever. And I think music is kind of this, like, beautiful middle piece where it's cathartic in and of itself, but it's still part of the work because it's shareable.
It seems like that song in particular really hones in on the resilience of nature and really taking hope from the resilience of nature.
Mm-hmm. That's where we all come from. That's our home before all these buildings, before everything else. I mean, that's our food, that's our water.
Yeah, I mean, so what's the role of music for you all in recharging? Because, you know, having been to your house, I know that your living room is filled with musical instruments. I mean, you all look like, you know, the Partridge Family on steroids.
Sorry, we both.
But also punk.
Your very punk version of
the punk Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Partridge Family.
The Partridge.
So is this an important way for you all to recharge?
Music is many, many things for me. It's definitely a way that I express spirituality, and it is something that's meditative and a way to express all sorts of different emotions.
I think a big part of the work we're doing is trying to pull people back into what the real fights are, which is not against each other so much, but against the system. And I think that music is such a great avenue for that, because it's something that we all, like, innately resonate with.
Impossible. Yeah. It really is impossible for us to understand how big and impactful climate change would be, because we as a human race have never experienced that. We don't actually have that in our memory or an experience at all. And so it's really almost impossible, I think, for us to totally get what's happening to the degree that we're able to make changes, which is why I think, like, we need to access a deeper level. Like you were saying, music can, I think, access that deeper level, and it has a lot of very unifying effects. It speaks to our emotions. It's something that can get stuck in our head. It can become our mantra. And it's a way of experiencing joy. I mean, not all songs are joyful. I think it's a way to look honestly at climate change and at the future and at our present myriad problems and find some strength to continue and to not deny?
It's actually like a request for people to step into solidarity by simply like getting into the lyrics and singing with us. And I love that some of the songs that Heavy Nettle that we do are, they don't require instruments and we can take them to the streets and treat them like protest chants because then people really do get involved.
Okay, Taryn, I just want to mention that I know that you just were in a play at the Milagro.
Yes, it did. It ended in November. It was at Milagro Theater and the play was Alebrijes by Georgina Escobar.
Okay, and you have another play coming up in the Fertile Ground that you're directing.
That's right. I am directing a play called Creating Life on the Inside, and it's through the Rogue Pack Theater. And we are currently facilitating a class at the Donald E. Long Detention Center with some of the kids who are regrettably locked up there. And we are taking some of the scripts that they've created over the last few terms, and we're going to be working on it. I'm going to be working on it because I'm directing the show with some professional actors, and we're doing the show for the Fertile Ground Festival. And that will be January 25th, 26th, February 1st and 2nd at the Selwood Play. If you want to contact us or book us for a gig, you could email us at...
This is heavynettlemusic@gmail.com.
You've been listening to an interview with the Portland band Heavy Nettle. We're going to go out with their song Dangerous Together. That one is by Sweet Potato. This has been Desiree Helligers with the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Black scarf over my face. No time to wait for the state. Oh, shish, I think I just got maced. It's where we find some peace. Agency and a break from anxiety. And maybe even dream of unity. Safe with each other. Dangerous together. Safe with each other, dangerous together.